Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into basically the remaining quarterbacks here. I am going to sort of lump these in sort of a big podcast because it doesn't seem to make a ton of sense to cover all of the tiers in their own individual podcasts. That seems like a bit of overkill, considering some of the guys that are in some of these tiers. So let's just start with, we'll just kind of work our way down the tier sheets at this point. I have basically your 2021 rookies. I still have as a tier, because I don't know what to do with some of them. It's really like, it's a weird class where you get through 2 years and you're like, I have seen a lot of play and I still don't know what to do with it. Like, that's kind of how I'm feeling about some of these guys. So like Davis Mills, for example, I've talked about this. I think he's probably overperformed his expectation. But the problem is when your expectations are so low is that level of passer, which is what he was, you know, as a day three guy, as a day two guy, late day two guy, you don't get a ton of scholarship. Like, you don't get a ton of long-term opportunity. That's kind of where he's at. So again, I admire his performance. I just don't think that he's going to get a ton of long-term cracks at being a starter. So that's kind of where I'm at with him. Zach Wilson's also in this tier. Zach Wilson's actually got some interesting metrics. He doesn't grade that well at PFF, but when you look like 8.5 yards per attempt on a clean pocket, that ranks like in the top of 40 qualifiers, that ranks him 7th. So that's good. Like, guys above him, Darnold, Tua, Purdy, Garoppolo, Hurts, Mahomes, and then it's Wilson, Tannehill, Goff, and Heineke. So that's like one of the things, if I were to kind of look at it and say, you know, what's your, you know, give me, like, paint me the good picture of Zach Wilson. Like, he's not terrible from a clean pocket. You know, when you sort of break it down to some more of his, you know, the more discrete numbers, the big time throw rate's pretty low at 2.5%. Turnover play rate's up a little bit at 2.3%. Like, his PFF grade still ranks really, like, kind of middling to low, 33 out of 40. So that's all the stuff you're like, you know, you could kind of look at the yards per attempt and be like, wow, like, maybe there's something there. You kind of look at the grade stuff, you're like, it's probably a little bit overinflated. Where he gets in trouble is under pressure. He's like amongst the worst of guys under pressure. This is actually an incredible stat. So of guys, the bottom five guys in terms of yards per attempt under pressure this year, the worst was Kyler Murray at 3.8. The next was actually Tom Brady at 4.0, 4.2 for Zach Wilson, 4.4 for Skylar Thompson, and 4.5 yards per attempt for Lamar Jackson. So interesting company there for Zach Wilson. He was by far, in a way, the worst PFF grade of any player under pressure. The next worst was actually Kyler Murray and then Mac Jones. You know, so that, like, honestly, if you were to look for, like, hey, where's some Mac Jones, like, some just some easy, like, what's kind of a layup for Mac Jones to improve upon? Like, it's the play under pressure. I think a more professional, we'll call it, offensive coaching staff will help him in that regard. But when you look at Zach Wilson, like, he just might be cooked in terms of that, right? So I think that's one of the things, like, you know, there's some, you know, Murray kind of bails out and runs is a lot of his profile in those situations. So, yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of the knock on Wilson is that he's just horrible under pressure and kind of middling to below average in the clean pocket. And you combine those two and you're pretty bad. So that's kind of my thing. As I was, like, sort of initially looking at it, I was like, oh, there's, like, some Zach Wilson, like, rebound stuff there. I don't really see it, like, all that much. Like, I get, like, the 8.5 yards per attempt from a clean pocket's interesting, but, like, when you look at it, it's kind of overinflated. So I don't necessarily love him as a reclamation project. He still will only be 24 years old. Maybe he gets another opportunity. You know, I'd be interested. I'm always interested if there's a if it's the right cost. Would be the thing that I would say. But presently, he is quarterback 32. You look like Gardner Minshew's behind him, Mike White's behind him, Baker, Darnold, Dalton. That's in the – that's 143 overall. The problem with that is like, relative to the position, he's, like, behind Tyler Huntley. It's like, okay, I think – like I'm like interested sort of in the idea of a rebound quarterback. I don't know if I want to pay like a 12th round startup pick to do that. Right? That's kind of the problem. So if he was going to fall to like outside the, you know, the 15th to 18th round, somewhere sort of in that range, I'd be more interested, but sort of in that 12th round range, I don't love it. So that's kind of my, my thing there. If he really plummets, I'd be interested. You know, maybe if he went somewhere else and just got a clean start, I'd be more interested too. But I don't love his price and upside combination at this point. Trey Lance is next up in this tier as well. I mean, how can you know a lot? Right? I don't even say that sarcastically. Like, how can you feel confident in a quarterback that's thrown 420 balls since he graduated from high school? Not 420 balls in college, not 420 balls in the NFL, 420 balls combined. Man, that's there was concerns about his development. There was no Jimmy Garoppolo trade. Like, all of those things was pretty concerning. And now we sort of get to the spot where you're like, all right, we've gotten through 2 years and we have no idea what we have. Man. Like, I think Brock Purdy competition is a real thing. Whether or not he can actually do that, given where his elbow is, we'll see. That's, I think, a valid argument. Yeah, I think the most likely scenario is Trey Lance is the starter going into 2023. And they've got Purdy behind him, and we'll see how it goes. But, you know, a trade wouldn't shock me. You know, I mentioned in the Mac Jones section of this tier series that – if if there was a Schefter tweet that said he was traded, it wouldn't shock me. It would surprise me, but it wouldn't shock me. I feel the same way about Lance. I don't think it's going to happen. I'd be surprised if I saw it, but it wouldn't be totally impossible either. Kyle Trask is the other guy kind of in this tier. We'll see sort of, you know, does he get a crack at this job with Brady Gunn? We'll see. And we'll see how that kind of goes. I'm interested in watching his early off season and if they can address the quarterback position and, you know, what their decision process with him. I don't hold a ton of hope for him, but he'll be 25 this year. It's actually older than both Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. So he's two years older than Trey Lance. So, again, that's kind of behind the arc. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Some of the guys in the non-hit category, Baker – I think he's auditioning for kind of like that Mariota role from last year. He's 28, so again, he's on the older side anyways for hitting kind of the career reset. He was okay at different points, but then you actually looked at some of his stuff this year, and it was pretty rough, like bottom seven in terms of under pressure, PFF grade. You look at his PFF grade from a clean pocket, he was 38th out of 40. That's all that stuff's kind of rough. So, and this is a player that hasn't really shown an elite ceiling either, right? You look at some of the guys that are down there, like Deshaun Watson's way down at the position, but we kind of know what he has in his range of outcomes. With Baker, it feels pretty crummy at this point. So I think he's kind of hoping his best sort of shot is to kind of win a Mariota job, like how Atlanta brought in Mariota this year and then didn't draft a quarterback. Like, that's kind of Baker's best shot, I think, of being a starter. I'm really interested in Jordan Love and what he could potentially offer. Like, there's not a ton of sample on him, but there was a lot of narrative coming out that, you know, he'd made some improvements. He's cheap enough where you're like, okay, like I'm still, you know, with a couple of years of seasoning, I'm interested. He's going behind guys like Malik Willis. You know, Brady will fall out. He's above him. Brock Purdy's above him. Desmond Ritter's above him. Like, I think I'd rather take a shot on Jordan Love if Aaron Rodgers walks than on Desmond Ritter. That would be my approach. And so all of a sudden, like, that kind of puts him in like the high 20s. And I'm probably interested, honestly, in that and startup drafts. Like, I'd probably be interested, you know, if that's 10th, 11th, 12th round, something like that. I could see myself pushing the button on a Jordan Love pick. Sam Darnold in this tier, again, I think he's probably a rich man's version of Baker, maybe at this point. Don't really love his trajectory. He presently is quarterback 36. I would rather – it's funny because him and Baker are right next to each other. I'd rather probably take a shot at – like, that's the range where if Zach Wilson fell to, I'd be a little bit more comfortable. You know, I think I'd rather take a shot on Darnold there than take one on Wilson where he is. But, you know, we'll sort of see how that unfolds. I think there's a non-zero chance that Dalton's at least an incumbent starter heading into, I don't know, let's call it April on the Carolina depth chart. Because he did play well enough down the stretch where you're like, okay, well, maybe you can convince yourself to do that again. They need to draft somebody, but you could convince me that he's like kind of a halfway bridge guy this year, and you know, we'll see how that goes. Gardner Minshew in this tier as well. Bridgewater. Gardner Minshew is actually going to be a free agent, so we'll see if there's any interest there in him. There should be, I think. Like, there should be teams that are interested in Gardner Minshew in a competition. For sure would be my thought, considering how there's so many spots that are open that don't have a clear starter in them. Like, he sort of fits in a place where you could get some competition. Again, he's of that Davis Mills type profile where he overperformed his pedigree, but it's just the expectation so low that teams don't want to stick with that. Some other guys here down the line, Nick Foles falling out of the league, probably. Matt Ryan pretty close to being out there. Those are veterans near the end. Some backups of interest. You know, I'm interested in what Andy Dalton could be. He was pretty good this year. His metrics are actually surprisingly good. Huntley, we'll see with the Lamar Jackson stuff. Cooper Rush grades out pretty poorly in some of the numbers as well, for what that's worth. I know that there's some, hey, he should have started over Dak type conversation, but when you actually look at the numbers, they aren't particularly good for him. Colt McCoy down there as well. Like, is he a potential week one starter in Arizona? You know, he's, I believe, a free agent as well, but could potentially be a little bit of a bridge for a new coaching staff there with Kyler Murray. So we'll watch that. Jacoby Brissett's a guy I think could land a week one starting job. That wouldn't shock me, you know, this offseason, given how well he played this year. So that would be kind of the angle there that I have with him. The 2022 rookies also in this range. I think your best hope is a Desmond Ritter. Right, I think that's probably your best hope. There's some thought that maybe Sam Howell gets a crack to start the season with Washington. I find that to be not super likely. It wouldn't stun me. Again, I would rather, like, as a team builder, right? As a NFL GM, I'd much rather take a shot on Sam Howell than Carson Wentz. Again, what's our rule? You'd rather pay a bad quarterback on a rookie deal than pay a mediocre one on a veteran deal, right? And that's a classic. Sam Howell this year was a classic one. So they must have really not liked what they saw. You know, we'll see what their approach to it is this offseason. They probably want to be in the business of drafting someone, I would imagine. You know, he played well enough in his final game, the final game of the season, to be like, huh. But I don't think that they're going to make that. Like, they've shown that they would prefer mediocrity instead of bottoming out and trying landing a big guy. So we'll watch for their off season there. Again, Ritter was like, Ritter's okay. You know, I think when you look at Ritter, again, you're running into a lot of the the same problems that we have with these other guys, right? Of lower pedigree. You just don't have enough pedigree, and you're like, all right, are you going to sort of trust? Are you going to trust that this player can actually get some, through any pedigree competition, right? They should be probably a team that's in the market for a quarterback, I would imagine. He's 24 as well. He'll be 24 as well, so he's on the older side. So is Malik Willis. I think Malik Willis is kind of troubling to get a starting job at any point, like considering the fact that they benched him for Joshua Dobbs. So that would be kind of my eesh. That's like – that passes the – that ain't good test. Like that's the – that doesn't pass the – that's not good test. You know, that's like, eesh, I don't want – like that's not where I want my quarterback trajectory to be on. Like, did you get started over? Did Joshua Dobbs start over you? Yes, not good. So yeah, that's kind of that range there. And again, Pickett's up above. So we have a better idea what to do with him. Potential reclamation projects. Jameis Winston's interesting. You know, he could be a free agent. They'll probably move on from him, would be my assumption. Carson Wentz in this range. Again, he's probably undervalued in Dynasty at this point. Trubisky, maybe a bridge-type starting job. Mariota, similarly. But I think Jameis is the guy of that range I'd be the most likely to take a shot at, because I think he could be a difference maker if he's healthy in the right system. And then Brady's retired. So he's on the list, but deeper down. So I just put him there at the bottom just so I had his placeholder. Just so I had his name just in case. You know, just in case we have to put him back on the list at some point. So hopefully he'll be moved off it later this year. But I'm not deleting his line on the tiers just yet. All right, so that'll wrap it up for the quarterback tiers series here. I will have running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends as well going forward. So we'll have all of that, and then we'll probably get looking at some free agency stuff in the NFL. Again, we'll be blending team strategy, trades, all that in there. I'll begin to start looking at rookies come the end of this month as the combine begins to approach. So we'll get some look at some of that content as well. I'll have some rookie profiles for you. I should do about like 30, 35 of those, something like that, I think was what I did last year. Maybe 20, 25, 30, somewhere in that range. Between probably 20 and 30, I think I did last year. So I'll have those for you. I covered a bunch of them and, you know, just combined a bunch of players into some of them too. So we'll have all that for you. So don't worry. We're getting to rookies, but we're tackling the difference-making stuff right now counter-cyclically and I think creating a niche. So that'll do it here for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.